and we believe that it's the Word of God, inspired Word of God. They didn't have that, right? They might have had some of the first five books of the Bible, but I also think that it refers to this, the potentially direct communication that the Lord just had with Samuel, right? So, like, they knew of Yahweh because they were worshiping Yahweh, but they had not directly encountered, Samuel had not directly encountered Yahweh. Does that make sense? He knew of, but didn't have that direct relationship with. And it's, I don't mean to be, you know, anachronistic, and you know, we have this, like, personal relationship with God and Jesus, and they may not have thought necessarily in those terms, but nonetheless, I don't think God had directly spoken to Samuel yet. So that's my thought.
I think it ties in, you know, when Jesus said, it's better that I leave you.
Yeah.
You know, because the helper's coming, you'll have the Holy Spirit. Is it's, what? No. What are you talking about? How are we better off? It's like, oh, actually, yeah. And I think it's back to that. It's like, you only had these, you know, occasional acts of direct connection, yeah, and speaking and visions that were taking place. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. So it's just a whole different, it's a whole different scenario.
Yeah, totally.
So when you guys think of that, like you said, we have the whole thing, the whole shebang, and they only had a snippet of it. And the snippet they had, that not everyone could interact with, not everyone could read, not everyone was educated, not everyone was privy to the opportunity to talk about what God was saying in God's word, or spend time in the holies of holies. So I'm wondering that, you know, our life is very different than the Israelites, but also in some ways it's very similar. So the things that maybe were keeping some of them from hearing God and made it so they need to follow all these rules and all these guidelines that Eli was leading them through and then teaching Samuel how to lead them through. Is there anything in our life that you think is similar that interferes with our ability to hear God's voice and connect with God?
Yes, things can distract us from it. Is that what you're saying? I also think that things that hinder us from hearing God are if we don't recognize the way that he communicates in certain parts of our lives. Like Samuel didn't recognize how God was communicating. He didn't think that God would speak to him personally and say, hey, how's it going? And maybe sometimes we don't think that God will speak to us in a very personal way or through a situation that's happening in our life. We don't have any, you know, how could we imagine that God would care about this specific thing and put it in my life so that I could know him better? But I think as we come to know the character of God more and more, we can see things as he is speaking to me through this scenario that happened or this specific provision that he knew that I needed that would speak to how much he cares about me. So learning to recognize his voice.
Please forgive my voice this morning.
I like it.
Picking up smoking was a terrible idea. But part of our problem is our own expectations for how we expect to be a Samuel kind of person. Samuel was a very rare and remarkable prophet that God was bringing at a very pivotal moment in Israelite history. And none of us here today are going to be a Samuel kind of prophet. But what God gives us is, in fact, greater, the Spirit that works in us, but he's more subtle and but also more interconnected with just us on a moment by moment. The Holy Spirit was selectively given out in the Old Testament, but now we all partake of it. But God often doesn't come with you know, audible words that I wish he did. You know, which lunch table should I eat at today? Which way should I drive to work today? But that's not how God communicates. His Spirit is one of leading, and it's one of love, and not these kinds of words that God uses very selectively. When you look through the whole Bible, it's pretty rare that God actually gives select words to a person. God's leading on the whole is just much more subtle and intimate than that.
That's one thing I think makes it really different, too, is that no one knows you like the Father. And so the Father responds to each of us in the way that we need it. And so I can find out what works best for Jody to hear the Holy Spirit, but I may need to do different things. You know, some of the things, there are some universal things that are pretty ubiquitous that I think Scripture is clear on. Prayer, Scripture, fasting, certain things, certain practices that help us to listen well and to not be distracted so we can actually hear the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, we all don't wear the same size shoe. You know, it's going to be different, a little bit of what works. You know, I hear stories of people who's like, every morning I wake up at, 4:30 to spend an hour and a half in prayer before I start the day. And I'm like, well, I sleep. I mean, congratulations. I spent most of my life as a Christian feeling like an utter and absolute failure because I didn't wake up in the morning and journal. I still don't journal. I mean, I take notes on things sometimes, but that's not the way I process and hear how God is working in my life, is talking with someone else. And then I kind of discover, oh, that's the way, because I'm an extrovert. But my introvert friends, and all of the spiritual formation books are written by introverts who like to sit alone and think and write. And so I spent most of the time when I read about spiritual formation, I'm like, oh, I suck, right? Because I am not built that way. And so, but I do think there is there is not a one way. It's more art than science.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes it a blessing. And that's one of the things that makes it feel tricky, because you're like, why isn't it working? It worked for them. Amen? Anybody? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I relate to the sleeping thing, because I think that God does communicate to us very individually. And for me, I also love sleep. And so there have been a few rare occasions in my life when I have woken up in the middle of the night or like very early in the morning and God needed me to do something. It was either write a sermon or prepare for this camp that I did or something, but there were very specific things he wanted me to do, and I knew it because I never wake up on my own, so it must have been God getting me up for that.
Thinking about the original question, how do we shoot ourselves in the foot when we're looking for God to speak in a way that he's not speaking? There's been about three times in my entire life where I felt like God was saying something miraculously to me, and it wasn't through words, but only three times. And in one of the times, interestingly enough, the content of what God was trying to get across to me was, I'm just not going to communicate to you the same way I'm going to others. Deal with it. I have this particular gift for you. That's not their gift. And that's not their gift. And I just, that really, really hit me in a strong way. I want God to speak to me in, in words or in certain ways. And that's just not going to be my gift. We all have, as many people as are here, there's that many different ways that God speaks to us. And so comparison is going to be the thief of joy. Don't compare how God speaks to somebody else. Just look for how God speaks to you.
And I think part of it is first coming with that sense of intention of, I want to hear from the Lord. And along with that, this belief that God can speak to me. I think some of the things that I struggle with is God can speak to them, but he wouldn't speak to me. And there's this sense of unimportance. And that's just not the reality, that God does want to communicate to me, and I need to be open and intentional to that. And I think it is more of an art and a science, because conversely to Greg, I do wake up early, not 4:30, not that early, but I do. Like, my mind functions best early in the morning when I'm having coffee, when I'm by myself. And one of the things that does help me is journaling. That's not for everybody, but what I can find is when I'm journaling, I can think through and see patterns and rhythms. And I think then God reveals things about like what's going on in my heart and in my life, and God speaks to me through that. The other thing that I found is I'm a reader, so I'm an introvert, not an extrovert. And so God speaks to me through dead people who have written books, not like a seance weird thing. I just realized when I said that.
Do you see them too?
I don't see dead people. At least I don't think I do. So there will be times when I'll be reading a book, and then a line will stick out, and it will be incredibly impactful to my heart or my life or what's going on. And it's like a ping. And I recognize, oh, God, I think that's you communicating to me. I think one of the other things is when we come to Scripture, we see God working in all of these different parts, but we don't see the time between those parts, right? Because it's the Bible is the story of God and God acting. And so we can often think like, oh, man, I'm not having these like crazy moments every day or every week. Well, neither did they, right? It was like, it was very sparse. But I think having that intentionality and then the realization of like, oh, God does want to speak to me. How do you speak to me, God? Because I do think he speaks to us in personal ways that are true to us and how we live and operate.
I think kind of going off of that, thinking about the fact that I feel like one of the benefits that Samuel had was his whole life at the time was to learn how to hear God's voice, was to learn how not just to hear God's voice for himself, but for an entire people and to help guide them in what God was asking them to do. And even then, I would imagine when he laid down in the temple to sleep that night and was being called by God over and over again, I would imagine his space, his environment was quiet, but his head maybe was not because he had so many things going on. And I think a lot of us can probably resonate with that feeling of my head is just so full. There's so much noise and information and ideas and thoughts swirling in my brain. And then on top of that, the world around us is really loud. So do you guys have any guidance or advice on how to quiet your mind and quiet the world around you so that you can kind of practice some of those things that help you hear God's voice and discern that it's God's voice that you're hearing?
As you were saying that, there was this quote, I can't remember the exact person, it's an old dead guy. And he said that a lot of the world's problems, if not all of the world's problems, come from the inability to be alone with myself in a quiet room. We have so many ways of distracting ourselves from the pain that we feel inside or without. And I think that removes opportunities for God to speak. And so that's one of the reasons why I like getting up early in the morning by myself and sitting in potentially that discomfort, because then I think it starts to bring to surface the things. It's very easy for me to get on my phone and just like start searching social media or YouTube or eBay or like whatever to distract myself from the quiet, still voice of God.
There's this quote from Mother Teresa. She was being interviewed by Dan Rather for CBS News at one point. Dan Rather asked Mother Teresa, like, well, what do you do when you pray? What do you say? And her response was, I don't say anything. I listen. And so he's like, okay, well, what does God say? He doesn't say anything. He listens. And if you can't understand that, I can't help you. That was her response. And I think that really speaks to the personalness and the training of to get to the point where you're with. What Mother Teresa is saying, I want to be in the Father's presence. And I know that he appreciates my presence in his presence. That takes some training, you know, training versus trying. We could, if right now I said, okay, everybody, we're all going to stand up and we're going to run a marathon. Virtually all of us would quit. A couple of us might get there eventually. Lewis would probably be first because he just, although you're tired because you just ran the Hood to Coast. But like some of us could, most of us couldn't. But you don't, because it's stupid to just go out there and try to run a marathon. Side note, I have a friend who just on a bet said, well, I can do it. And so he went and he went out to a track and just ran circles just to prove a point because he's competitive.
Wow.
And then he found out that the track wasn't quite regulation. And so he came short by like half a mile and it really made him mad. So he went and did it again with no training. Anyway, young 20-year-olds, what can you say? Anyway, what was my point? My point is, everybody's different. And so, yeah, if it were up to me, I would always be listening to music and always be listening to podcasts if I'm not reading a book or having to do something else, like always. But that's a lot of noise in my ears and a lot of noise in my head. And if we always have noise, we can't hear. And so what does it mean for you to hear? That's what we have to evaluate, you know? And so, and that's going to look different for each of us. But part of it is being quiet, you know? And having that space. And for some of us, we have much louder houses than others. And so that's why everybody's in a different context. And so it's just, you know, figuring that out.
There is some intention, like you were saying, to cultivate moments, though, where you can be quiet. I mean, I haven't really had silence for the last 14 years. So it, my silence time was in the car. If there was a rare moment that I was in the car by myself, I choose not to turn the radio on. And those are actually the moments when God speaks to me the most. And I usually find myself singing my prayers to God, because singing is a way that I can process what's going on in my heart, and I hear the words coming out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh, apparently I was really upset about that, or, oh, this was really impactful to me. But it would be so much easier to just turn on the radio, because I want to numb out, because I've, you know, but I like cultivating areas of quiet where you can, even if they're small.
Greg and Bree, I think you're pointing out something that is, I feel like it's something we don't talk about when it comes to spiritual disciplines, learning how to hear God's voice. What I hear you saying in the background of, I haven't had quiet for 14 years, that means before 14 years ago, you had quiet. That seasons change. We change, our life changes, the things that are demanded of us change. So are there things that you feel like you have done to be able to accept the grace of, kind of like, I think, Greg, what you're saying, just being with God? Like, some of us have the opportunity to sit down and study scripture for 3 hours, or some of us have the temperament and the opportunity to hold still for a day for a silent retreat consistently. Others of us, we're just trying to remember how to pray when we're getting out of the shower real fast, as we hear people running across the house and you hear someone yelling and you're hoping, is that a fun yell or we're having a fight yell? Like, so is there anything that you feel like that you have done or has helped you kind of accept the seasons that you're in and helped you kind of navigate how to maybe shift your spiritual practices so that you're still getting them?
I think different things at different times, like you were saying. But also fitting spiritual disciplines into things that you are already drawn to do. So I realized that running is actually multiple spiritual disciplines for me. It is breathing exercises, because you have a very even-paced breathing. It is silence and solitude. It is prayer. It can be a lot of things. And it's also exercise. So I think combining things and being creative in what works is helpful, especially in your busy seasons.
I think it's especially hard for moms, because there's a responsibility and burden on the day-to-day that I think in our culture, men have the privilege of not holding on to. And so there's a book called Liturgy of the Ordinary that even in the day-to-day practices, it's an act of service. Trish Harrison Warren, if you haven't read it, I definitely recommend it. But it helps to kind of recognize not every act of spiritual formation has to be spiritual. You know, making the bed can be an act of, can be a call to liturgy and prayer, even as you're doing that. Or, you know, making the peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, folding laundry is actually a very meditative activity.
And also, when we're thinking of the spiritual disciplines, try new things. Try things again. You know, maybe you picked up, you tried journaling when you were 20 and it didn't stick. Well, maybe it'll stick now. Maybe you've never tried fasting, you know, pick up things. You're in a different phase maybe the last time you tried it.
Well, and to what you guys are talking about, I think of Brother Lawrence and his little book. Like, if you're just venturing into spiritual disciplines and spiritual formation and hearing from God, practicing the presence of God. It's a small little book, Brother Lawrence. And he set about to have this intention of continually, moment by moment, to be aware and listening for God, his presence, and his voice. And, you know, and it's kind of like his reflecting on his experience as he's doing it. And so he's like, you know, today I lost track of God for like a whole 2 hours or whatever. But over time, he becomes more aware of God's presence. That's why it's called practicing the presence of God. What was your trying versus...
Training versus trying.
Yeah, training versus trying. So Brother Lawrence is training to hear the voice of God. And so it's not just something, sometimes God does just boom and gives you a word. At other times it's like, okay, I'm going to set about to be intentional. And as I'm folding laundry, you know, thinking about the Lord, bringing your presence to him, or praying, various things like a breath prayer, you know, just constantly setting about keeping Jesus front and center. And I know that we're talking a lot about some disciplines that, you know, aren't in Scripture. I think one of the ways we do hear from the Lord is from the Bible. I think that is also ties into how do we approach the Bible. We believe that the Bible is God's word, but am I going to submit to it and listen for God's voice speaking to me into my situation, right? Or is it to like prove a point or to make sure that I have correct theology, these sorts of things? So in our talk of spiritual disciplines, I don't want to, you know, neglect Scripture and that sort of thing. But I do think it requires a humble, submissive attitude as we come to it and to hear the Lord's voice for our present day life.
So what I think I hear you guys saying is that there are spiritual disciplines that, yes, they're in Scripture. They're laid out for us. The cloud of witnesses that has gone before us has practiced things, prayer, fasting, meditation, service, worship, fellowship, all of these things, generosity. But then there's also the piece of kind of when we say, like, everything, may everything you do be done to glorify God. Maybe everything we do in theory could be a spiritual discipline if I'm anchored in what God is calling me to do and like remembering that God is present with me. Would you guys say that's, am I hearing you right? There's still an element of working it out. Like there's still an element of showing up, but that maybe we're not limited to these five bullet points that, which actually is one of the things, if you Google spiritual disciplines, sometimes you'll see seven, sometimes you'll see five, sometimes you'll see 23. Like it just depends what source you look at. The last question that the kids had for you guys, to kind of close our time out, and it's one of those, maybe you kind of answered it. Maybe you have a little bit more thoughts. They wondered, how do you know, how do you trust that God hears you when you pray?
Well, Jesus himself kind of likens us, like he says, you fathers and mothers among you, among us, you know, you're not perfect. You fail at being a good parent, but your kid comes up and asks for a fish or a loaf of bread. You know how to give them what's good. How much more is your perfect Father in heaven going to give you what's good? And so that's, I think, the picture that Jesus provides, is that he is a loving Father. And so in as much as you look to mom and dad and expect that they hear you, they might not give you what you ask for, but they're probably listening unless the game's on. But God in heaven is perfect, and there's no game that's distracting. And so if we picture him like that loving Father, that's better than even these mothers and fathers, that's one step we can take.
And maybe sometimes we mistake giving me what I want for hearing me. I think he definitely hears everything. But as a good father, he doesn't give us everything that we want. It was interesting. I'm taking a class, so you'll probably hear about my classes. But we read an excerpt of C.S. Lewis's book, Letters to Malcolm. And it's kind of Lewis's wrestling with, how do I go about adoring God and seeing God when he seems so big and there's these big terms like salvation and glory, and how do we even go about comprehending that? And in his book, he said, well, start with what you have right in front of you, this cool water that I can splash on my face and this sunlight that's dappling down through the woods. And, you know, seeing God in the things that are right in front of you is more like practicing the presence of God. He is everywhere, and he is giving us beautiful, glorious, wonderful things all the time. And they may not be the things that we're specifically asking or begging for, but he's giving us this gorgeous day and the breeze on our face and the people sitting next to us. And so I thought it was an interesting way of learning how to practice God's presence.
We have a tendency to think that times that are most important for God to speak to us are like the big decisions. Who do I marry? Where do I go to college? Those kinds of things. But I think the rootedness and the heart of what Scripture calls for us is really the day-to-day, the conversational engagement with the Holy Spirit. That's what keeping step with the Spirit. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always. There's a memory verse. That's it. Two words. Makes it easy. Next memory verse you can memorize. Pray continually. There you go. You just got two memory verses. Just like that. Anyway, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Always, continually, everything. That's not the big moments. That's not just the wow. It's not the Hollywood movie moments. It's the everyday, and it's the relationship, and that's the true heart of it. So it really comes down to the closer we are, the closer we feel, the more it goes on, and it's self-sustaining in that. How do we rejoice always? Well, we be in step with the Spirit. How do we give thanks in everything? Well, it's because we're praying continually, and that it's the life together, and it's not exceptional. It's conversational, and it's day-to-day, which is exceptional.
Well, I think, so how do we know that God hears us? I mean, sometimes we do because our prayer is answered. I would argue maybe a lot of the time we don't. And so it's an act of trust. And I think, in fact, prayer itself is an act of trust. Let's say there's something that needs to happen. You got some family stuff going on. And I'm going to make maybe an unnatural dichotomy, but you can either do something or you can pray. Because when you're praying, you're not actually going to work on that thing, right? You're saying, God, I am trusting this to your hands. And maybe there will be a time for you to do something or not, but prayer itself is an act of trust to say, God, I am relinquishing that. I'm trusting you with that. In fact, the word amen comes from the Hebrew word aman, which is a relational term. And it means essentially to trust. So when we say amen, we're saying, God, I am now placing that in your care. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to worry. I may or may not have to do something. But ultimately, the result is up to you. So I'm praying about my job. I'm praying about my family. I'm praying about whatever circumstance it is. And then at the end, amen, aman. And that is a declaration. Usually we just use it as like a nice way to like, okay, I'm done talking now. And we're closing out the conversation. But really that is saying, God, I am trusting in you. And so a lot of the times we don't know that God hears us. And we are going on faith. We're going on trust that the Lord hears that. And it's hard. And as we're talking about spiritual disciplines and hearing from God, I struggle every day with, God, are you hearing me? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing in this situation? What does the future hold? And all of those ambiguities. But I think that's how God wants it to be, where we're relying on him, that he's not giving us the neon flashing sign of turn left here, go right there, head straight down. Like, life is full of ambiguities. And he, you know, as like my children are growing, I'm hoping that they learn to have wisdom and they're not calling me for every life decision. Right? Like, that's what you want for your kids. You want them to grow in maturity. And God is the same way, that he wants you to grow in maturity. And he's going to, you know, you're going to make mistakes, and that's going to be okay, because the Father still loves you and he's still watching out for you. And he's holding your hand. So you might trip, but you won't stumble headlong. You might get a scraped knee, but you're not going to get a busted head, because God's holding your hand.
Yeah. I love that point out of trust, because it makes me think that, like Reed, you shared those three times that you are confident that God spoke to you. I would imagine those came because you spent time trusting that God had been speaking to you, was with you, had been listening to you. That there's an element of kind of like Samuel needing to learn and trust Eli's words that God is speaking to you. So tell him you're ready. Tell him you're listening so you can keep hearing the words he has for you. I think that's what I hope we all get to do. I hope we all have a little someone in our corner who can say, hey, keep listening. Because I think that's the biggest part of the Christian faith. Like, even introverted people, like Greg, you pointed out that you enjoy and get more out of talking about scripture than just journaling about scripture. That's conversing with others and processing it is helpful. And so we were made to do this together. We're not meant to struggle through disciplines alone. We're meant to do it together, which is the gift of having a Sunday morning and getting to know each other here so we can spend more time with one another out there doing all the things. Yeah, it's such a cool thing to think about, how faith is not just, it's not just a box to check. It's something to live out, to practice, to engage with, to share. And like, how cool that our kids are helping us with this morning and sharing their things that they love. And then also that we have those who are ready to commit their lives to Jesus and invite us into doing that with them. Like, it's just so cool. So thank you, you guys. Thank you for taking some time to answer some questions and get us thinking about how we can hear God's voice and engage in our faith. I'm going to pray for us. And as I do, kids, will you guys come back on up here to help us with our last couple songs? And will you guys join me as we pray? God, we thank you again just for this time, just to listen to you, to hear about you, God, to learn more about what it looks like to live life with you. God, I'd ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to all that you have for us. God, just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you show up alongside us. And God, we just ask that you would help us to continue to look for you and hear you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.